Once upon a time, well, plastic was a miracle. It felt like progress. And we embraced it. It is now nigh impossible to imagine life without it. But the durability, it's that part of its essence of plastic, it's now, well, that's the problem, not the solution. Scary statistics. 1 million plastic bottles being used every minute of every day. Plastic is everywhere, choking our oceans and the creatures in them, taking over landfills, littering roadsides, beaches, forests. How do we break our plastic habit? Perhaps with Bakelite, as we discussed earlier. Tasmania was Australia's first state to ban plastic bags. Now, a farmer's market in Tamar Valley is taking on the challenge of going plastic-free. Catherine Zangara reports.
It's like how they used to be. Glass is such a good container. It's so easy to clean, so easy to reuse. I'm Gareth Shapiro. We do a stall for Elgar Farm and the Grain Family, which is in a little locality called Multima, about 15 k's out of Deloraine, northern Tassie.
It's a frosty morning at the harvest market in Launceston in northern Tasmania, and here at the Elgar Farm stall, people are lining up to buy their milk and cream in glass bottles.
It's a dollar deposit on the milk bottles, 50 cents on the other jars. It's a fairly big part of the cost for someone to take that little bit of extra time, clean out the bottle, take the label off, bring it back to the stall, get your dollar back. People love it.
And they do it?
They do it. About 90 to 95% we're getting return rate at the markets, which is huge. It used to be about 60, so it's incredible.
Curly Haslam-Coates is the manager of the Harvest Market. Curly, why did you decide to make the whole market plastic-free during the month of July?
It's just quite important. We've got a lot of stallholders who are already doing some really great things. So we've got people who have bottle return policies. You can refill the olive oil. We've got some that only use paper bags. And so we just wanted to highlight the things that can be done.
I'm David Henderson and I'm from Old School Farm in Preston. Preston's near Gunns Plains in northwest Tasmania. We're veggie growers, so we grow about 50 different lines of vegetables each week and bring them to the harvest market.
And you'd love to participate in Plastic Free July, but it's actually a bit tricky.
Yeah, that's right. We can get rid of most of the plastic in our system. However, cling wrap is a really tricky one. People like to buy half pumpkins and half cabbages and things like that, and for food safety reasons we need to wrap them in something that's clean and safe. So cling wrap is the thing that we use, and it's really hard to find something to replace that product.
So if I asked you for half a pumpkin, you couldn't just cut it here for me and give me half as it is?
No, we're not allowed to do that.
Not allowed by whom?
By local government regulations about food safety. The food safety regulations say that cut vegetables need to be done in a food safe area, and stalls aren't seen as food safe.
Obviously there's a lot of legality that comes with it, so with food production and preparation there are times where plastic must be used legally, but there are other opportunities, and we have reusable bags, reusable coffee cups, so it's quite easy to make it just a very simple part of people's day.
Why are you passionate about it?
I love food, I love Tasmania, I like our whales and birds alive.
We don't want people to get sick, so we want to do things that keep everyone healthy and safe. But look, we'd love to work with regulators and work with the council to work out ways that we can be both plastic free and provide food that is safe and healthy for people to eat.
The woman behind the Plastic Free July stall here at the Harvest Market is Trish Heusler. Trish, take us on a little tour of your stall. So let's start on the left-hand side here, and you've got a basket full of toothbrushes, cotton buds, combs, scourers.
So a whole lot of items that can replace your typical plastic item that you might have at home. So instead of a plastic toothbrush, a bamboo toothbrush. Instead of a plastic scourer, which are a lot of those green ones that we all commonly use, this one is made out of coconut husk. So there's all sorts of items that can replace plastic. So we've divided our stall up into a kitchen area, laundry, personal hygiene, with all examples of what you can substitute a plastic item with. Here in front of me, we've got the at work in the office or at school, and we've got a number of items that we can use instead of plastic. So for example, we've got a highlighter marker here, we've got the plastic highlighter. You're going to use this, the plastic in it's going to be around for possibly hundreds of years, or the option is a highlighter pencil.
What about things in the kitchen?
Here we've got an example of a vinegar and lemon cleaner. So beside your sink, you can have a jar of vinegar, and as you use any sort of citrus, you can then put the peels into the lemon, leave it for a week. The vinegar goes, has this lovely lemony smell, and you can then use that as an all-purpose cleaner in your house and just keep refilling your spray bottles. We've also got bottles of cleaners, such as liquid detergent, that we get refilled.
What do you say to people who think going plastic-free is just in the too hard basket?
This is little steps. You're just taking one item at a time and looking how you can replace that with something else. And I think we've really got to a point where we need to look at the plastic items and go, this is going to be around for a long, long time, well after we're long gone. And we need to take responsibility for this plastic. And there are so many opportunities to replace it with a non-plastic item, but just do what you can.
So the end of the world sounds good to me. Jennifer Lavers has come down to join the stall. She is a research scientist at the Institute for Marine and Antarctic Studies here in Launceston. Jennifer, you've brought this poster here with a picture of a bird. It looks like an albatross. And a whole lot of stuff next to it. What is that stuff?
It's everyday consumer items that we use in our household, in our workplaces, and we don't really think sometimes about where those things end up when we no longer need them. And it's a lot of items that we really, truly don't expect to find in the ocean. So it's things like bottle caps, pieces of Lego, clothes pegs, really day-to-day items that they have an end of life, and where they go at the end is a really big question. Where do they end up, and what impact does that have when we're done with them?
How do they end up in the ocean if people are putting them in the bin?
A variety of ways. So when your bin accidentally sometimes gets knocked over, that's right around your storm drain, and that all drains and enter the rivers, and they ultimately end up in the oceans. And in some countries around the world, waste management is something that needs to be improved upon. So some of the plastics in the ocean ultimately come from other countries as well. And because the ocean has no borders or boundaries, what enters one ocean becomes another country's problem far, far away.
But how do they end up in the stomachs of birds?
Our wildlife doesn't realize that plastic is not food. In fact, some plastic in the ocean has been out there for so long, decades or more, that it actually totally fools them. It's covered in algae or barnacles, and it not only looks like food, it might even smell like food. And so they're truly being bamboozled into eating it, and they think that they're eating prey.
And what happens to them when it gets into their stomachs?
The plastic has kind of a multiple effect. So when they eat really large quantities, it can cause things like impactions, and it can really prevent them from being able to have any space left for their natural prey. So there's just no space left for fish or squid. And the more kind of sinister effect is the fact that plastic in itself is toxic. It's a petrochemical-based product that has chemicals that we add to it to give it certain properties. And when an animal eats that plastic, some of those chemicals are released out into that animal's bloodstream. And, you know, it doesn't take much logic to understand that that's probably not a very good thing for those animals.
Do some of the animals actually starve to death because they can no longer eat?
Indeed, that is a problem for some species, and in some cases that the quantity of plastic that's been consumed is so significant that there really isn't a lot of space left for proper nutrition.
I'm back at the Elgar Farm stall, and I'm checking out Gareth Shapiro's hand-ground spelt flour, which he's got in brown paper bags with a clear front made of what looks like plastic.
It's not actually plastic. It's a PLA type of material like cellophane made from cornstarch. So it is compostable. I mean, even if it does go into landfill, it is going to break down a lot more quickly than plastic.
And what drives you to investigate things like your packaging and get into glass bottles for your milk and your cream?
It's just such a waste. The writing's on the wall. You know, we're using a non-renewable resource that just has so many long-lasting effects on the environment. Why use it if you don't have to? Reality.
reality or the dream? Is the end still coming? Has it already been?
Gareth Shapiro there from Elgar Organic Dairy Farm in Tassie and speaking with Catherine Zingara. Throw that plastic away. Now, there's more information about Plastic Free July. Go to plasticfreejuly, all one word, .org. Don't forget, for more on these sorts of themes, subscribe to the War on Waste podcast. Craig Rucastle and Wendy Harmer do that. The ABC Radio app is the place to find it, or wherever you routinely obtain your podcast. You can get a blueprint one as well. You can indeed.